Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Body of Water, A Sage, A Seeker, and the World's Most Alluring Fish, by Chris Dombrowski, narrated by David Drummond. From ancient times, wise people and sages have often lived near water. When they live near water, they catch fish, catch human beings, and catch the way. Dogen, Mountains and Waters Sutra. Prologue. The man steps barefoot through shallow water, moving as if he carried a candle threatening to expire. He lifts his left foot from the ankle-deep slack tide and holds it poised in the early morning air until the last drops from his pant cuff return to the salt. Then he advances, setting his foot down, toes first, dark brown on the pale Caribbean sand. Now he stands so still, a passing cormorant might light and perch on his shoulder, mistaking man for mangrove. Now he proceeds. So that a single bonefish feeding along the tidal flat's periphery won't startle, he walks this way. So his wake won't alert the nearby assemblage of moharas, the myriad minnow eyes trained already on his shadow. He holds the borrowed fly rod behind his back, a strange 9-foot tail, so that its lacquered finish won't redirect sunlight toward the fish. Again, he steps, closing the distance between his body and his quarry's hovering form, its bottom-cast penumbra. Sensing danger, the fish maintains shrewd space and near invisibility. Since it arrived on the flat, the 5 dark vertical stripes have disappeared from its flanks, and before that, its scales maintained the hue of the narrow blue defile it negotiated on its way to these shallow feeding grounds. Now, its sides are star-white, chalky, its location perpetually vague and mirroring whatever surrounds it, until it tilts, nose down, to root a bellicose crab from a burrow. Then its sloped back and dorsal fin cut through the surface, light shellacked, announcing its location to the airy world. Its tail shimmers, a loose-fitting bracelet affixed to the wrist of a beautiful woman seated at a bar, the likes of whom the man has seen only in movies or through the dining room window of the fishing club where he works. Before the foraging fish, a puff of inhaled sand the fish's gills expel, clouding its vision. The man gains a yard while the water clears, and the fish finishes pulverizing the crab with the crunchers in the back of its throat. Then he stills again and waits, until the hovering fish inverts its nose, now pink from the rooting, toward another meal. Low on the horizon, a single crown-shaped cloud lifts toward the rising sun. The man's sighting light is limited. When the cumulus obscures the sun, the water's surface will turn opaque, gray as a blind eye. The tide is due to turn, and the south wind, low now but sure to advance with the day, will harry the incoming water onto the flat, pushing the lone fish into an apse of mangroves, a maze of many-fingered roots. Small, eager snappers will emerge there, busying the water, quick to jump on his offering before his fish has a chance. Schools of loose-scaled green fry frequent the cove as well, behind which the big predatory cubera are never far. Once he saw a 15-pounder annihilate a whole school. When it finally settled, the water looked strewn with tiny emeralds. "Get yourself another crab," he whispers, and commences tugging 20 reams of yellow fly line from the metalist reel seated at the base of the rod. The reel's gears click slightly as he pulls. He looks to see if this has altered the fish's posture, but the fish seems unbothered. Soon, the loose fly line lies in coils in the water around his ankles, and he holds the fly in his hand, letting 10 feet of clear monofilament leader dangle like a luffing sail at his side. Fortune! The fish has tipped down again to feed, this time with its tail facing toward him. He takes 2 careful steps and begins his back cast, extending his right forearm out and upward from his elbow, flexing the fiberglass rod deeply so that, springing, it propels the slack line behind him. The line's